mix with On the Beat.
See what you can do.
Hey, what's up? This is Isu back again. Geek Society Podcast. We talk TV, movies, comics, collecting, sports, and everything entertainment. This is episode 89. Today we'll be talking about TV, including The Walking Dead, Rise, and Star Wars Rebels. Movies including Wrinkle in Time, The Strangers Pray at Night, Veronica, and MCU rewatching Iron Man 1, 2, and Incredible Hulk. And as always, the week in sports, including WWE Fastlane, The Week in Funko, and collecting, weekly Star Wars moment, and our weekly random movie and song recommendations. But before I go any further, you can always find him in the fast lane. It's the Nez!
Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. Hey, everyone that listened to our Up to the Challenge, episode one, thank you so much. I had fun. Yeah, it's a shorter show because you realize it was only 30 minutes instead of 10 hours long, but... That's what we're going to do, man. And I'm really looking forward to the next one.
Yep, me too. Got a good one lined up for the next challenge. So looking forward to it. Thanks, everybody, for checking that out. And yeah, we'll keep them coming.
Yep. All right, man, let's do it.
Yeah, sounds good. Let's get right into it. Might as well start with the TV. You want to start with The Walking Dead?
Go ahead, because I did not watch last week's or this week's, so just don't.
Okay, well, let me just tell you this. You've been watching the show long enough, you know what they do. They just build in these episodes. It's not like nothing happened, but they're building episodes. Characters are moving from place to place. It's a lot of setup. Is going on, where the characters are at and what's going on there. So beyond that, I've actually probably not much more to say about the episodes. And yeah, it's not even much of a spoiler, but it's what we've come to expect, especially this far in the show. So yeah, that is what it is.
All right. I just didn't get to it. But before we go, before we move any further, we lost, Stephen Hawking. If you guys don't know who he is, if you watch Big Bang Theory, it's the guy in the wheelchair, and hearts go out to his family and everyone that he's affected with his knowledge, like Sheldon Cooper. So, but I had to get that in real quick before I forgot. Great.
While we're on the topic, did you see that one movie they did just a couple of years ago? It had Felicity Jones, Jen Erso. I think it was like The Theory of Everything.
No, I haven't. Was it any good?
Also had the guy from... Yeah, well done. It was cool. It was, you know, his life story. So
I'll have to check it out. Have to check it out now.
Bonus random recommendation. Yeah, definitely. It looks like from what I'm showing here, you don't really have any other TV, right?
No, I didn't really do too much TV, man. I just, I did, but okay. We'll get to that with episode two of Up to the Challenge. But I've just been watching all the sitcoms that have been coming out, not the ones that I've been watching, and everything's funny. There was something I watched, but I can't remember it. I didn't watch the latest Unsolved, so I'm like super behind on TV, man. Just work is consuming me because I had a new start time, so that kind of threw everything off.
Yes.
But what else do you have?
Like you, keeping up with Unsolved, Good Girls, we talked about that last Police Society, but they're both going well. I don't need to get too much into those. Just last night, though, on the DVR, checked out this new NBC show that Jade DVR'd called Rise. I don't know. Dave, have you heard about that?
Don't know nothing about it.
Okay. Yeah, it feels a little bit like maybe a more serious Glee, a kind of This Is Us style drama. I guess it premiered right after the finale of This Is Us. So they're going for that kind of vibe, but it also has that Friday Night Lights kind of feel too. Basically about it's like a high school story. You've got, you know, you follow teachers, you follow students, you follow parents, that kind of thing. And the reason why Jade was so interested in, because it's about production of a play, and she's done that in the past. So she was really intrigued by that aspect of it. So I'm sure we'll be keeping up with it. Yeah, I thought it was all right. But yeah, like I said, it's really in the style of This Is Us, the Friday Night Lights. If you're into those shows, I definitely recommend checking it out. It's NBC, so there's a good chance it's on Hulu shared. So yeah, that's Rise. The last thing I have is the series finale of Star Wars Rebels. Right before we recorded last E Society, it was going to air that night. So it's been a minute since it ended. But yeah, it's the 90-minute finale aired, and it's all done and over with. And I don't know where we go from here with Star Wars Animation, but I can't wait to find out. Without spoiling it, do this in a text. The final like minute and a half, the final 90 seconds was so cool. It wrapped everything up and like hinted toward like the future of possible stories and whatnot. And I really just can't wait to see what they do going forward. I'm sure they have something planned, but like we talked about in the past, I'm sure they're saving it. Like maybe they'll announce it for May the 4th, Star Wars Day, or I assume they'd have to announce it before Comic-Con if they want to bring something to Comic-Con. So no Star Wars celebration this year. So yeah, I don't think there's a D23 either, Disney convention.
I thought there was.
Yeah,
there isn't.
The series is over.
There's not a D23?
I don't think so. I'm not 100% positive on that, but I don't think there is one this year. I think there's one both next year, I think, is for D23 and the Star Wars Celebration is May 2019. It was supposed to coincide with the opening of Star Wars at Disneyland and Episode 9 in theaters, but since JJ came back to Episode 9, they moved Episode 9 back to December, so... I'm sure they'll use that Star Wars Celebration for the trailer now.
All right. I was watching.
But anyways,
this is what I was watching the other day. The series hasn't started yet. It starts March 27th, and this is the return of Roseanne on ABC. If you were a Roseanne Barr fan, the show was hilarious. I don't know how many seasons it went. It seemed like it went on forever, but it is good to see that pretty much everyone's returning except for David. That's not Howard, Leonard on Big Bang Theory, Johnny Galecki or whatever the hell his name is. I do not see him on the cast, so maybe, who knows, maybe he'll pop on later and do a cameo for the show, but everyone is back. Roseanne Barr, John Goodman, Lorraine Metcalf, Sarah Gilbert, and I think it's Alisa Gronson. Michael Fisherman. He's DJ. And DJ, man, he's tall and everything, but he looks exactly the same. It's awesome. Cool, man. I was kind of happy this is coming back. I don't know what they're doing because John Goodman's character, Dan Connor, he died in the original series or the original run. So I don't know what's
going on. I
guess
they'll undo that.
I they're going to have to.
I assume they'll undo it. Yeah. Like they'll do something to show that it's before that happened, and they'll just undo it, I guess.
I don't know. I mean, if this is just, they just start over from the beginning and just say this is a whole new series, but I don't know. I don't know what they'll do. I'm sure they'll figure something out. But this was interesting. Pretty much the whole cast is returning. Even Sarah Chalky or Chalk or whatever. I don't know how to say her name. She, if you might know her, for you Scrubs fans, the blonde on there. Sometime during the original run of Roseanne, the original Becky character or the actress, Alicia, I think that's how you say her name, she decided to do movies, and she kind of stepped away from the TV for a while, and Sarah took over as the Becky character. I want to say maybe a couple seasons, and then the original Becky came back. But the new Becky, she's back, but she's playing a totally different character named Andrea. So it'd be cool to see that. I did love the original Becky, but the second one was not to sound like a dog, but she was hotter. But so, but either way, I'm glad she's back on the show. So I'm really looking forward to this. I mean, Roseanne was something that my wife and I would watch like every week. And I don't know how, I think if I still have my VHS tape somewhere, I know I had like a ton of old Roseanne recorded, but I can't remember. I know one of these TV Land channels or whatever are showing all the old Roseanne. So if you're a Roseanne fan, I'm sure you're excited as much as my wife and I are for the return of Roseanne. Kind of cool that she went back to Roseanne Barr, because for a while she was just Roseanne, because she was Roseanne Arnold for a while, and then that all fell apart. And
oh, that's right.
So it's cool. I can't wait. Couple more weeks and we get the return of Roseanne.
Yeah, there was a 2020 that I DVR all of those, and one of them had coverage on the return, but I haven't checked it out yet. So I'll have to check that out and get back to you on it if they said anything interesting on that.
Yeah, I guess they had a little pop-up Roseanne store down in L.A. somewhere. I was reading some stuff on that.
Huh.
They had whatever t-shirts.
Those are so cool.
And a whole little, from the pictures I saw, it looks like they had like the whole living room set up in wherever it was. But cool, man. I mean, good. Just cool that they did that. I've noticed they've been doing that a lot for either TV shows or movies with sequels. They'll throw up little pop-up stores and everything for fans and everything. Or just like when It came out, they threw up the actual the Well House on the corner of, I think it was Hollywood and Vine. I didn't get to go in, but I went to it and I got to see it. That was before the movie came out, so that was cool. But I don't know. Hollywood's crazy, man. If you guys have been there or have not been there, do check it out. It's real dirty now, but it's cool. If you live down there, it's probably not cool to you. But to us tourists that just visit frequently or every now and then, it's cool to see all these huge giant billboards of stuff coming out. Cause when I was down there, it was right before Force Awakens, Last Jedi was coming out, and there was a ton of stuff everywhere. And I just thought it was cool. But, yeah, man, I think that's all the TV talk I have is Roseanne.
Yeah. That's all I got for this week. I guess just to put a bow on Rebels, I think I mentioned this before, but definitely when the whole series comes out, I'm definitely going to pick that up and then drop that off with you to check it out, because it's definitely worth watching. The storyline, it's like really good Star Wars storytelling. It's not just for kids or anything. It's really worth watching. Rebels. So, yeah, goodbye to Rebels. I'll miss the show and look forward to what they have next coming as far as animation. You just know they had to have been working on something once they knew Rebels was coming to an end. So,
yeah, we need to.
But yeah, that's all I got for TV.
We need to make friends with someone that's down at Lucas in San Francisco, and somehow,
yeah, big time,
hey, get in there. I mean, I've been to it. I've been as far as the lobby. That's about all I've seen. But there is cool stuff in the lobby as well as the Yoda fountain that's outside. So if you guys ever in San Francisco, make it over to Presidio. And check out Lucasfilm or whatever the hell it's called. It's right there. You can't miss it. All right, rolling into movies. What do you got?
I got Wrinkle in Time, the new Disney movie in theaters. Oprah, Reese Witherspoon, Mindy Kaling, directed by Ava DuVernay. She did Selma. This one had not just that I keep up with Disney, I keep up with pretty much everything they do. This one had an interesting angle in that I mentioned last episode that they filmed some of it like just under 2 miles from my house here in Eureka at Sequoia Park. Interestingly, once we got into the film and we saw where they filmed, the scene lasted like maybe 2 minutes, maybe under. So you could tell totally that it was a pickup shot, and they did most of the principal photography in New Zealand. So it makes sense to why they would just come up here. Like, why fly all the way back to New Zealand just for a quick shot? But yeah, from a personal angle, there was that. The opening to it, I got to say, too, they showed a bunch of Disney trailers on the stuff that's coming the rest of this year. Now, am I all in on them? They played, I don't know if you've seen any of these, Ned, but they played the Nutcracker, Mary Poppins Returns, Christopher Robin, The Incredibles 2. I was like, yes, sold.
What was the first one you said?
They're doing a version of a Nutcracker.
Okay. I've seen the Mary Poppins Returns, and I've seen the Christopher Robin one. I think I'm excited for Christopher Robin. Christopher Robin is what I'm excited for.
Yeah.
Mary Poppins, I don't know. Just leave that story alone. But I don't know. I'll probably check it out.
Yeah. As far as Wrinkle in Time goes, quite the odd story. Once you actually get into what it is and what it's about, I was actually surprised that Disney took this on. It's a little odd. It has a lot to do with the idea of space in the universe and things like that. And I was like, man, I don't know if like the core Disney audience, you know, is really gonna like this. And I wasn't surprised afterwards to see that the reviews weren't that hot for it. I liked it all right. I'd say if you're, you know, interested, definitely go check it out. But if you're on the fence, you can probably wait, is what my recommendation would be. The acting was good. It's, you know, got plenty of good actors. Chris Pine, Michael Pena's in it. His part's small, but cool and good. But yeah, just the way, like I said, what the story is about, like time and space and all that stuff. The way they pull that off, like I was, it's an all right movie is basically what I'm saying. I you know, mid range, you know, wasn't that bad, but it wasn't that great either. So, you know, I liked parts of it. And like I said, I had that cool touch of like, oh, that park that's right down the street. Because they already have like a plaque up there that says like Wrinkle in Time was filmed here. So, yeah, like I said, if you want to check it out, check it out. But otherwise, I wouldn't say rush out to see it.
You're not selling it very good, dude.
Yeah. Well, like I said, for me, it's like I'm telling you, it's not horrible, but I'm not like throwing a full endorsement behind it, is basically what I'm saying. So, like I said, if you're even, you know, unsure about it, you could probably skip it. It's what I'm saying.
They spent over $100 million on this and haven't even made it half of it yet. just what I'm looking at. I don't know for sure, but that's
right
what I'm looking at right now. And Rotten Tomatoes, they gave it a 41%, and the audience gave it a 35%. I've noticed that all the critics are saying, oh, it's this, it's that, and it's good. And then all the audience people are like, this movie sucks. It's boring. It's this, it's that. I'm like, damn, everyone's like brutal on this.
Yeah, and honestly, watching, that's what I'm saying, that I could see why people think that. Like, I didn't think it was boring per se, but I thought it was like a little more out there. Like I said, the stuff that they're talking about, and the way they just, you know, talk about moving through time and space, and you know, the universe and all this relativity and stuff like that. I was like, I don't know. It didn't feel like a film that was going to connect with mainstream audiences. It felt definitely more indie, independent, and yeah, I don't know. I'm not surprised, but also I saw some reviews of people who like loved the book and they actually didn't like this take on it. So I'm familiar with the book, so I can't speak on it to that, but that might have been a thing too. I do know that they did there's three sequel books, but like you just said, based on the numbers, I don't see that happening for this series. I think it's probably a one and done-er.
Did Jade see it with you?
Yeah, and she liked it too. Like I said, there's definitely good parts about it, and you know, it's definitely empowering for young kids and stuff like that, I would say. But I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, some of that stuff, like, it doesn't compare to, you know, other entertainment in that way. Like, with some of the messages that it's dealing with, you know. So, yeah. Like I said, basically, like you always say, check it out if you want to.
There was a TV movie, same title, Wrinkle in Time, came back out in 2003. Also by Disney. It's better than the movie because this new 2018 version sucked. I was bored. I could see why little kids did not like this because I don't think they got what was going on. Some of it I had to think about. And there were little white kids in the book. And now,
so you did see it.
Yeah, now they're not. So I'm like, man. What I did like
you,
about it.
You
I,
did go out to see it?
I saw it yesterday.
Okay.
I was waiting. I wanted to hear what you had to say before I start to tear it apart.
Okay. Well,
before I
tear it
apart.
Please.
I love.
Please feel free to tear it apart. You know what I'm talking about, the forest part?
Yeah.
That was like a minute. Yeah, that was right down the street from here. Continue.
If that, please. Man, they just show the redwoods and then. I don't even know if it was a minute, dude. It seemed like seconds. But I do love Oprah.
Yeah.
I've loved her in not so much her show, but I love her acting. She's done a ton of good roles. This was another one. I thought the special effects, most of it was awesome. I mean, Disney has money to make the effects badass. But some of it was some of the background CGI on the really big shots I thought were kind of a little sloppy. But then again, I do not know how to do this. This is just my opinion. Reese Witherspoon, I can take her or leave her. But I did like her in this. Mindy, whatever, I do not like her at all. So I was just like, just get off the screen.
Mindy Kaling.
Yeah, I don't like her. I think I stopped liking her after she cheated on Ant-Man.
Office?
And, no, she cheated on Ant-Man and 40-year-old virgin.
Right.
The Levi Miller, the kid that played Calvin, I hate that kid. That was another reason. I was like, if you guys seen Better Watch Out, you know why I hate him. Not to ruin it. But do check that movie out. It's badass. Chris Pine, he's awesome and everything. But I do not like the long-haired, bearded Kirk. So I was a little mad Michael Pena was only in it for a second. But I did like his character.
Cool part.
Yeah, Galifianakis, I thought he was cool in this. The little bitch girl, the bully, man, they're really going with this bullying stuff in movies, which is good, man. I liked her in Goldberg's, and then in this, I was like, no, I like her character. Don't make her the little bully girl. I think the breakout star in this, I don't know if he's been in anything else. The little kid that played Charles Wallace, I think it's Derek McCabe. Oh, man, this little kid. I can see him doing carrying a whole movie by himself if he hasn't already. I'm looking at his IMDb. He has only done this is actually his second movie. He's working on another one. He was in a short and something called Stephanie. This little kid, man, he's a good little guy, cute little guy. I don't know how old he is. But man, that little kid can act when he was this cool little, this nice little innocent brother, defending his sister to where, spoiler alert, him, how he was kind of almost at the end. And I mean, I was really watching him. I was blown away by this little guy, man. Hey, Derek McCabe, if you're listening, man, dude, you were awesome in this. I thought he was the best one in the whole movie. But overall, I was just like, it's a thinker.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
It's a thinker. So if you haven't seen this yet, I say you wait. Because if you take your kids to it, little kids, thinking it's going to be this amazing Disney movie there's a ton of special effects, but they're not going to get what's going on, and they're going to get bored.
No.
They're going to get bored fast. Yes. So,
agree.
I say wait till it comes on Disney Channel or, if the streaming site is out before, or just buy it and then watch it at home. Cause then they can sit there, watch a minute of it, and then start running around and playing. But do not take your kids to see this, because they will be bored out of their mind. And there was no kids in there when I saw it. There was only like some older folks. And Disney, man, come on. You guys are doing good for a while. Then you put this out. But I don't know, man. Visually, it was amazing. And I love the effects and everything. But it just... I don't know what they were trying to do here with this. I mean, just from what I understand, a buddy of mine, he had seen it, and he is a big fan of the books, and he just said they totally changed the story around. So,
that might be on the director.
See it if you guys want. If you do see it, go to a matinee. I'm pretty sure it looked awesome in IMAX. I saw it just regular. Did you guys see it regular or 3D?
Regular standard size screen. So yeah,
I saw it on the bigger screen at Park Lane. But
all right.
Who knows? Maybe it probably looked amazing in IMAX 3D. But this movie just, I was just okay. I was like looking at my clock, looking at the clock, like okay. But I don't know. I mean, I was all into it every time that little boy was on the screen, because he did such a powerful performance, and Oprah. I'm glad that she didn't like take over the movie, because I remember right before it came out, I was listening to this one podcast, and he loves Oprah too, but he's like, man, he was also a fan of the book, and he goes, I hope she just doesn't take over the movie, because was she one of the producers in this, do you know, or is she just acting?
Probably. I mean, she can afford it, but yeah, I liked the amount we got of her. I was pleasantly pleased with what the effect they did on her, because I didn't notice that. If they showed that in the trailers, I didn't notice that's what they were going to do with her. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah. Bottom line, see it if you want.
Right.
I say wait, but I mean, that's...
I'm with you.
That's my opinion.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see if she had something to do with this. It doesn't look like it. She probably just kicked back and said, all right, what do I do?
Yeah, and not that it was it's like the most awful thing ever. It's a fine movie to me, but I can't help but think, like, man, Ava DuVernay, her name was so hot coming off of Selma, and she actually was almost attached to Black Panther before Coogler got it. I think she actually turned it down and wanted to do something more of her own style, which was Wrinkle in Time. So, I don't know. We'll see where she goes from here as far as directing. But I know she's thought of as, you know, well-respected as far as up-and-coming directors. So, you know, it happens. I know a lot of people, as far as comparing to like Jon Favreau's career, he's always seemed to gone up and down with his films. A lot of people really disliked Zathura, and then he comes back with Iron Man. Then he does Cowboys and Aliens. People didn't like that so much. He comes back, does, you know, Jungle Book. That's a huge hit. So, you know, it happens.
Yeah. Zisu here liked it more than I did. I was like,
Right.
a friend of mine wanted to see it, so I was like, all right, let's go. So, but I did tell you what I liked about it.
I liked it.
Right. But yeah. Anything else on this?
No. Let's move right on to the next film.
All right. I'll do mine before you get in all the MCU stuff. This is one that came out last year on Netflix. Everyone was talking about it, and a couple of friends of mine were saying that you guys should review this. I'm sure you didn't watch it, but I was gonna. This is a movie called Veronica. I think it's a Netflix original. I don't know, but everyone would hold on. Madrid, 1991. A teen girl finds herself designed by an evil supernatural force after she played Ouija with two classmates. Before this, when this movie came out, all these horror sites were ranting and raving. Oh my God, it's an awesome movie. It's one of the most disturbing and scariest movies lately of the year, or I don't know when this exactly came out. It came out in Spain last summer. I do not know when it came up on Netflix, but
No good, huh?
It was good. I mean, I'm not. It's okay, but I hate the way these people hype these movies up so much, and then you see them, and it's not even close to what Disturbing is and one of the scariest movies. I was like, really?
Right.
I was like, come on. I mean, this isn't a story that we have not seen. I'm all about Witchboard, the original 80s classic. But this one, it was what it was. I mean, the actors in it, I'm not even going to try to pronounce their names because I'll butcher all of them. This was all filmed in Spain, Madrid, I assume, because that's what it says here. But I don't know. I mean, I thought the ending was a little spooky and creepy because it really got going. But basically, this girl, her father passed away, and she gets a Ouija board. Her and her friends, they go to the basement of their school. I think they're in like a Catholic school or something, or some church school. I don't know what denomination or whatever it is. Anyway, they go down to the basement and then they basically summon whoever. And the rules were you need to bring something personal for the person you're trying to contact. And she brought a picture of her dad. A lot of you guys, if you've seen all these Ouija board movies, you know where it goes when you don't know who you're talking to. And that's why I don't touch these things. I believe in all this shit, so I don't touch them. I don't even touch them at all.
Right.
Even when you see them in Toys R Us.
Right.
And speaking of Toys R Us, oh, man, they're all closing. But we'll get back to that in collecting.
Yeah.
You saw everything coming. You knew that they're mess with it. You knew they were going to contact somebody, and then you knew all this stuff is slowly going to start happening to her. And that's what happened. And until you get to the build up at the end, when everything goes all hell breaks loose. But I think I was just more disappointed because of the hype, not the movie. I thought the movie was awesomely well made. Some of it I thought was a little stupid when they were speeding up some of the things, but I'm just like, they didn't need to do that. The CGI that was in it, I mean, they didn't go crazy, but it was decent. The director, Paco Plaza, he's the director of the Wreck films, if you guys have seen those. Wreck is a in Spain. It's the original. Did you see Quarantine?
Which one?
Quarantine.
Which one?
Quarantine.
No, I didn't. No, I hear you, but
oh.
No, I didn't.
This is.
I was
the,
trying to think.
This is the original one. This one, Quarantine's okay. Quarantine's good. I do love that movie, but Wreck is amazing. I believe there's four Wreck movies in the series. The first one's the best one. They all do tie together, but the first two are like pretty much back to back. As soon as the first one's over, it rolls right into the second movie, and they're both like found footage type things. The third and the fourth one are just like regular movies, but they're both decent films. But this is the same. This is the director, Paco Plaza, that directed Veronica, and it's on Netflix. If you guys want to watch it, go for it. I don't know if you can change the language into English or not, because you got to read this whole movie. I have no problem with reading now that I got my spectacles. I have no problem reading these movies.
Right.
I like listening to the actual real dialogue because you can get the feeling. I think when they're dubbed over, it loses the feeling of the actors. But check it out if you want. Don't read into all the hype of them saying it's the scariest movie ever. And I was like, oh, really? But no, I mean, it's worth watching. Do check it out. I mean, don't, if there's absolutely nothing else on or you just like these type of movies, check it out. But that's Veronica on Netflix. It came out last year.
What is the scariest movie ever?
I don't know. I mean, you'd have to break it all up into everything. For me, when I was a little kid, when I was 9 years old, when I saw Friday the 13th, the original, that scared the hell out of me.
Right.
I was 9 years old. And
I bet.
Right now, you watch it, it's not scary. I bet it kind of still creeps me out a little just because right. of how scared I was when I first saw it. I love that one so much just because it was a real movie. It could happen. This was before the nonstop, the unstoppable Jason. This is when it was his mom. And it was just a lady that took revenge. I mean, anyone that loses a child because someone wasn't watching them, you're going to snap. And not everyone, but some people snap and want to take revenge for the loss of their child. And I can totally see that. But that's what I loved about that one. That one was real. I mean, that could really happen. As far as Jason never dying, yeah. But I love all the movies except for Part 9. That one sucks dick. But Exorcist, it was scary when the first time I saw it. I was really young. That scared the hell out of me. But now you watch it, it's not so scary.
Right.
I'm kind of scared of clowns, so it scared me, the original one. This new one, that freaked me out. Clown House, that really freaked me out when I first saw it. That was late 80s. That's a movie that a lot of people hate. I understand, but you gotta separate the art from the artist. The director was a pedophile. He molested the main kid. Yeah. in Clown House. But anyway, that was creepy because the clowns were chasing the kids. Blair Witch scared me. I remember
what
that.
What about? Oh, yeah. Big time. That's probably it for me.
That's
that
scared.
One still.
That's
I hate thinking about the final scene.
the reason that one freaked me out was they didn't show it. You didn't know what was out there. I mean,
right.
I thought the directors did an amazing job with the little that they had and put out this movie that made them like overnight millionaires. So,
right.
Man, there's a lot of movies out there. I mean, some that creep me out. I have so many, I would really have to think about it, but one that right off the head is a Japanese movie called Ju-on. That scared me. I mean, that one was creepy. I think that is streaming on Netflix. I know it was. I don't know if it still is. If you want to see the American remake, The Grudge, with Sarah Michelle Gellar or whatever, that's just the remake of Ju-on, but a lot of the J horror stuff creep me out. That's a whole nother show. I would really have to sit there and think about. The next movie, the new movie that I'm gonna talk about that I saw, The Strangers, Pray at Night. The first one that came out back in 2008, that was with Liv Tyler and Dennis from Sunny. He's only in it for a minute. But The Strangers, the first time I'd seen that one, that one kind of creeped me out. That was just a home invasion movie. And I love this movie, the first one, the original, The Strangers. It's a little boring in the beginning, but once the craziness gets going, when the three masked strangers start to just really, really try to get the young couple that's in this house. I think the part that scared me in that, it still kind of creeps me out, and it just always makes me look behind. If you guys know that you get that feeling that somebody's in the room, you always automatically like turn your head just to see. There's a scene in this one. If you look at the actual poster for The Strangers, you see Liv Tyler standing there, and you see this person in the background with a white hood over his head. That part, I've seen it a million times. I know it's coming, but the very first time I saw it, she's actually like facing the camera and that's not really paying attention, just kind of doing what she's doing. But you see this character just come and peek around the corner and stand there for a second. Doesn't do anything. And then the camera kind of moves away, follows Liv Tyler. And then when the camera goes back, that guy's gone. I thought that was really effective, and that creeped me out. watching it, I watched it before I went and saw The New Strangers, and that part did still kind of give me a little chills. But I remember sitting in the theater. I knew it was coming because you see the poster outside before you go in to the theater. Right. But it just made it that much creepier. I love the first one. The first one's an amazing, amazing movie. I love it. But this new one, The Strangers Pray at Night. This movie didn't have what the first movie had. It had a little suspense and just the creepiness. This that was just a home invasion movie. This one, The Strangers Pray at Night. This is just a slasher film. I mean, I love slasher films. Don't get me wrong, but this one it seemed rushed and it was really short. It's only an hour and 25 minutes, but if you take out the credits and the end credits, maybe an hour 15, if that. I wanted this one to be so much awesome like the first one was, and this one wasn't. I mean, I liked the kills, and I liked how brutal they were because I like those type of slasher movies, but I was just like, oh, come on. I mean, it didn't have the spookiness and creepiness that the first one had. It was, you almost think it's the exact same movie all over again, but instead of, in the first one, they were pretty much stuck in the house, or they went outside every now and then, but it was mainly in the house. This one, they're running around in a trailer park. A family of four staying at a secluded mobile home park for the night are stalked and then hunted by three masked psychopaths. Yeah, that's pretty much your movie. I think it's the same three people that were from the first movie. Let me click on something. I don't see why it would not. I don't see why those people would not come back to reprise their role. I guess not. I guess they got someone else. These aren't the people from the original movie, or the guy, the main dude. Let me see the pinup girl. Not sure. She might. I don't know, but it doesn't look like it either. I think they just got three new people to be. Why couldn't they just get the original ones? Unless they didn't want to do it. But anyway, if you just want to see just nonsense killings and. Yeah, go see it. I mean, I saw it just because I love the first one, and I'll buy it when it comes out. I'm a completist, but I was a little let down on this one, man. I did like the pool fight scene. I thought that was cool. But I think, I mean, it's in all these horror movies. Here I can say, oh man, I would have done this and I would have done that if somebody was trying to kill me. But I mean, you never know until you're in that actual situation. I mean, like when someone's trying to get you while you're in a house, you're in the movies, they're just backing up and waiting to be killed. And I'm like, this is what I always say. Grab anything and start throwing it at this person. Maybe you'll luck out. Pick up a book. If you get hit in the face with a book, man, that's going to hurt. A hard book or anything. Just start throwing things. There's plants. Or if you're in the kitchen, just start throwing silverware, pots and pans. It's like there's so many weapons that you can reach for in arm's length, and these people don't. And I'm just like, oh. But that's not just in this movie. It's in every horror movie. I can understand when you're out in the open and there's nothing to grab, but I don't know. But that's just me. Right. And it's not with this movie. It's with a lot of horror movies. But this movie just didn't have what the first one did. It was I thought they should have left it alone, because the way the first one ended, you were like, whoa. And then, you know, they're back in this one, and it was like, in the ending in this one, I was like, really? But I don't know. See it if you guys want. It was what it was. I didn't hate it. But yeah, that's Strangers Pray at Night. Yeah, see it if you want. That's all I could say.
All right.
That's all the movies I have.
Okay. Just real quick, I want to re-mention that I'm doing a MCU rewatch. Last week, we arrived at the 50 days until Avengers Infinity War is hitting theaters. So, 17 movies in the MCU before Infinity War. So, just kind of stretching it out every couple days, checking out one. And since we last recorded, rewatched Iron Man 1 and 2 and Incredible Hulk. So I'll probably just mention more on that as far as the rewatch coming up, and if I catch any interesting things. And the one interesting thing I caught, which obviously would be really hard to remember, is that in Incredible Hulk, when Edward Norton's Bruce Banner, or is replaced by Ruffalo, is trying to go undercover and get into this lab with some pizza. You might remember the scene with Lou Ferrigno. Right after that, he goes up to the lab, and there's a kid working in the lab, and it's actually the same actor that went on to play the teacher in Spider-Man Homecoming, Martin Starr. So that's kind of a fun connection that you could make up the fact that he was attending that college, and then he's teaching by the time Homecoming comes around. So that's just something cool that I caught that I hadn't realized before this rewatch.
I don't remember any of those movies.
Right. Well, yeah, like I said, we're at 42 days till Avengers, so plenty of time still to start a rewatch or jump through, maybe rewatch a few films here and there. If anything else, maybe just the Avenger films, Civil War, maybe. But did you pick up Thor Ragnarok?
No, I didn't. By the time I got there, all the steelbooks were gone. I'll get it eventually.
Yeah, ended up getting the Target version. When I showed up there, they only had 12 or so copies of it. So I'm sure those went really fast. So it came with a fold out, a little 40-page booklet. That's cool. The bonus features are really cool. As far as the director who we just talked about on our first episode of Up to the Challenge, Taika Waititi, he He seems like just such a fun guy. It's I'm not surprised that that's the way what we do in the shadows turned out, and the way that Ragnarok turned out, and the way that he plays Korg. He's a really fun guy, and it's cool to see in the behind the scenes features, like what he does. He like dresses up as one of the extras and stuff. Like he likes their outfit and stuff. So he says he always just tests out all the extras clothing. But you saw when Civil War came out on Blu-ray, they did a Where Thor Was with Team Daryl. You saw that little short?
Yeah.
I won't tell you what happens in it, but they have a follow-up to that on the Blu-ray, a Team Daryl short. So definitely worth checking out just for that.
Cool.
So, yeah, as far as that goes, all set on movies? You all set with movies?
Yeah, that's it for me.
Okay, yeah, let's get right into the week in sports. Just super quick, the Warriors are dealing with a ton of injuries right now. Last night, we had a two-game losing streak before we played the Lakers, and we were without three of our four All-Stars. Dre hurt elbow, Clay broke a finger, he's out for like 2 weeks. Steph's still working on getting his ankle right, so we're sitting in that two spot, and it looks unlikely like we're going to get that one spot. It's possible, but looking unlikely, which is okay. I've come to terms with, you know, we're pretty much locked in that two. We're like 10 games up on the two spot between two and three. So all the Warriors need to do is focus on getting healthy for the playoffs. And if it happens to be that we have to go on the road in the Western Conference Finals to Houston, so be it, you know. The Warriors, they're tested. They know what they can do. So, the other big thing that's happening in basketball, actually, right this minute as we're recording, March Madness is kicking off. The first game's about to start. Picked out a ton of brackets. I had Jade pick out one. For the one that counts, the one where I have like $10 on the line, I won it a few years ago, like 2014. Joel, Cherry, Greer, all them. I'll just give you my final four. I got Arizona, Villanova, North Carolina, Duke, and I got Arizona winning it all. So, a lot of scandal and, you know, the FBI looking into college basketball, but if you can just focus on the basketball and have some fun with that, I think the tournament this year is going to be as unpredictable as ever. I think there's going to be all kinds of upsets and all kinds of big schools going down. I think it's wide open. It just seems to get like more and more like that every year. But you fill out a bracket, Nez?
No, Joel texted me the other day, and I was like, "Man, basketball's for suckers." You know me. I don't watch basketball.
Oh, come on. Anyways.
You'd have to ask Mark. Mark and Renee.
Yeah.
They're the basketball watchers. I'm not.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, March Madness kicking off right now. First game's underway. Rhode Island and Oklahoma. Watching it right now. Rhode Island scored first. Oh. Anyways. What you got for sports?
Last Sunday we had WWE Fastlane. The pay-per-view, I finally got to watch something when it was happening. So I didn't see the kickoff.
Yeah.
I didn't see the kickoff show, but from what I understand, it was no good. I just hate who was in it, so I won't even go over that. This actually was pretty fast of a pay-per-view, hence the name Fastlane. Because usually some of these pay-per-views seem long. This one seemed like they just zipped through every match. I thought this pay-per-view was kind of pointless for some of the matches, like the first match, which I thought should have been later, but hey, I don't make up the card. This was Nakamura, Shinsuke Nakamura versus Rusev. I hate Rusev, and I hate Rusev Day and all the fuckers that cheer for him. Ugh, it's stupid. I hate it. Shinsuke, he's awesome. But this match was pretty good, man. They were both going pretty hard. I mean, Rusev, man, he did a good job in this one, man. He was selling his bumps good, and all his moves he did were – this guy, to me, when he first came on, he's getting better as he's going along. Who knows? Maybe I'll like him in the future. But Shinsuke, he's just badass. He sells everything good, and I just love it, man. I love when he comes out, when everybody's singing to his – theme music when he comes walking out. But he did, man, they both took hard bumps. Nakamura ended up winning this via pinfall. So it was good, man. It did. Rusev looked like he hurt his leg, but he kept going. I'm not sure if he really did or not, but he looked like he did because he was limping around for a little bit. Awesome match. The next match, which I thought was kind of a filler, this was Bobby Roode versus Randy Orton. This match was okay. I mean, it was kind of slow and a little bit boring. But I did love when Bobby Roode came off, I believe it was the second rope, right into from out of nowhere, Randy Orton in his RKO and 1-2-3 over with. I thought that was the most exciting part, the finale of the match. Man, I love Randy Orton. He's badass. This was actually for a belt. He's the new United States champion. So Randy Orton, thanks. Right on, brother. Thank you so much for all that you've done. And but he's not done. He's going to keep continue going on. But right when this match started, when Bobby Roode came out, hey, shout out to the sister that had the Navajo Nation flag. You could see it on camera really quick when Bobby Roode's walking down the ramp. You see this girl holding up our flag for the Navajo Nation. So, the next match, this one was pretty good. I mean, I wanted it to be better. It could have been better, and I'm putting the blame on Carmella. I love Carmella, Miss Money in the Bank, but she can't go. She can't match up to some of these gals. Becky Lynch, Naomi versus Natalya and Carmella. It was good, man. I mean, I can see that Becky Lynch and Naomi were kind of holding back when they're dealing with Carmella. Natty, she's amazing. She's awesome. I love her no matter what she does. But I like it when she kind of the heel, but not really. But, yeah, Carmella, the princess of Staten Island. Oh, come on, man. You need to get some more practice. You're hot, and you are the Miss Money in the Bank, but... come on. You need to do a little more work. But overall, I mean, the match was okay. It wasn't the greatest. Carmella and Natalya win via pinfall. The next match, it was kind of slow in the beginning, but then it picked up. The Usos versus the New Day. This is for the SmackDown Tag Team Championship. All of them, the Usos, and it was Xavier Woods and... what's his nuts? Kofi Kingston. Big E was outside of the ring. Man, they were all going pretty good, man. These are high flyers, so they were in and out of the ring, flying all over the place. Took a lot of hard bumps. But then the dumbass Bludgeon Brothers music came on, and they came out. Bludgeon Brothers is the stupid Wyatt family guys. Luke Harper and Rowan.
They look like World of Warcraft.
Oh, it sounds just like, come on.
Right?
They were better when they were hillbillies, not whatever they are now. Dungeons and Dragons looking guys. I'm like, come on. But I liked it up to that point, and that's when they just started beating everyone. So Usos are still the tag team championships. Maybe it'll run into WrestleMania. So we'll see. The next match... this one I was really looking forward to. Charlotte Flair versus Ruby Riott for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Bottom line, Charlotte Flair, she ended up winning, doing the submission on Ruby Riott. But I loved it. the Riot Squad came out. Seth, Sarah Logan, and Liv Morgan, they came out, and they were just kind of just doing what they do. But both Ruby Riott and Charlotte Flair were both going pretty hard. Ruby Riott, I love her, but you know damn well Charlotte's going to win, because Charlotte's supposed to take on Asuka at WrestleMania, and there's no way she's going to drop the belt to Ruby Riott the pay-per-view right before WrestleMania. So it was just practice, I would say. But it was a good match. I did love it. Ruby Riott, I love you, Charlotte, but I just love Ruby Riott. She's an awesome performer, and she's all tatted up, black hair and black lipstick. Yeah, that's what I'm about. Good match. I'm on Bleacher Report. They graded it an A-, but it was pretty good. The part I loved is when Charlotte Flair jumped off. She did a backflip off the guardrail that's right in front of the seats. The little padded, matted guardrail. She did that right on the Ruby Rose or Ruby Riott. So I thought that was awesome. Moonsault off the barricade is what it was. The next match was the main event, the WWE Championship six pack match challenge. This was another one. I mean, it was awesome. It was Baron Corbin, Kevin Owens, the phenomenal AJ Styles, John Cena, Sami Zayn, and Dolph Ziggler. AJ Styles is the champion, WWE Championship champion. But he's got his main event match at WrestleMania against Shinsuke Nakamura. And you knew damn well he wasn't going to lose the belt. So, but it was an amazing match. This was probably the best match of the night. Man, these guys were going hard, and everybody booed Cena and everything, but you can't stop the power that is John Cena. When he was giving everyone the AA, like in a row, boom, 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 right after another. I thought that was awesome. Then he AA'd AJ Styles towards the end of the match, climbed up onto the announce tables, and then boom, he threw AJ Styles into one, and it went crashing. And when Baron Corbin and Dolph Ziggler were fighting outside of the ring, this was all in Columbus, Ohio, and I can't remember the hockey team that plays there, but the match went out into the audience, Corbin and Ziggler, and Corbin smashed Dolph Ziggler in through the glass. I believe it was not the penalty box. It's where the players are all sitting. There's glass, or the plexiglass is right there. Corbin smashed Dolph Ziggler through that, so I thought that was pretty awesome. And just Shane McMahon, a.k.a. The Money, he was out there watching. I think this is just going to lead into Shane McMahon, I love you. He always gets it. Like, since he's been back, he's always been worming his way into WrestleMania matches. I believe he's going to be taking on Kevin Owens. I think. I don't know. I haven't watched SmackDown yet at WrestleMania. But Shane McMahon was actually kind of just sitting off on the side watching. And Kevin Owens was I can't remember who he was going after, but he accidentally super kicked Shane McMahon in the face, and that was awesome. So I kind of see that leading into WrestleMania, but I don't know. We'll see. Then Baron Corbin picked up the metal stairs and started slamming everybody with it. I thought it was awesome in this, man. John Cena giving the double five knuckle shuffle to Zayn and Ziggler. That was badass. And just everything that was going on in this match, man, it was moving so fast, and everybody was getting roughed up. Everybody took hard bumps. AJ Styles, he won via pinfall. He pinned Kevin Owens, and 1-2-3, boom, over with. So he came off the top row, off the ropes, and boom, got him with the phenomenal forearm. So boom, that was it for that. and 1, 2, 3, and it was over. So you knew AJ was going to win. It was just an amazing match of what these six superstars did. Sami Zayn, I could think he didn't need to be in there, but hey, I understand it. He's got to work too. Dolph Ziggler, man, no matter what, anything Dolph Ziggler's in, I love it when they throw him in there. And Baron Corbin, man, I'm starting to slowly like him, man. He's just a big brute. He just roughs everyone up. Kevin Owens, man, I've loved him since the Indies, Kevin Steen days. And then when he went into NXT, and I think the best match I saw in NXT ever was against when Kevin Owens took on Sami Zayn and almost killed him. So, oh, man, that was an amazing match. If you guys watch NXT, go back a couple years and watch that match. I'm sure it's on YouTube. Kevin Owens NXT against Sami Zayn. But that's it. That's the final pay-per-view before WrestleMania. That's going to be next month in a couple weeks. April 8th, I believe, is when WrestleMania is in New Orleans. Right now, I want to go. I was looking at tickets yesterday with my friend because he hasn't even gotten his yet. He already has his room, but he's going with his girlfriend, and I don't want to be the third wheel in there. But I don't know. We'll still see, man. I mean, there's pretty much all the seats are sold out except for some of the crappy ones that are like way up almost behind the stage, and you probably can't see anything. I don't know, man. We'll see if I can get there. My fingers are crossed. I'm going to talk to my buddy some more and see if I can worm my way into his room. And hopefully I'll be down in New Orleans to check out WrestleMania 34. Tiga is due in April, so I hope the baby doesn't come while I'm down there. But I don't know.
Right.
My fingers are crossed. If I don't make it down there, I'll definitely go over to Joel's and Sherry's and hoot and holler and scream with them. So, but yeah, WrestleMania is the next pay-per-view that I'm going to cover. So get ready for that. We're off. The road to WrestleMania is over with. Well, almost over with. And I think the matches I'm really excited for is probably, I don't know what the main event's going to be. If it's going to be AJ against Nakamura or Roman Reigns versus, what's his nuts? Brock Lesnar. I don't know.
We'll Braun. See.
I'm pretty sure Braun. That. No, it's.
What about Braun?
He'll be there, but he no title match. Unless he comes in and ruins it. I hope he does it.
Oh.
I don't know. We'll see. But WrestleMania is going to be awesome. And I can't wait till it's on. Hopefully I'm there. If not, I'll be at a good friend's house watching it. But that's it for my WWE Fast Lane wrap-up.
All right. Just a couple more segments to go. I know we're getting down to the final few minutes, but we can make our way through it. The weekend Funko and collecting. Not too many pickups personally, but my Zisu set, the Emerald City Comic Con, it arrived this last week, so I was really excited about that. Steve and Ned Zisu, I already posted a couple photos of them on the Zisu, the Instagram, whatnot, like I always do, but yeah, that was the only real hiccup of the week I made. Did you get any pick up anything?
Nothing. I spent too much in Seattle.
Nothing? Okay. Well, right, exactly. I guess, yeah, real quick, we should mention that, like I was talking about early in the episode, that sadly, the end has arrived for Toys R Us. It's a bummer. They are all closing. It's over. End of an era. I'm just happy that you were able to pick up that Jeffrey for me. We'll always have that to remember it. It's a end of an era. Super sad.
Yeah, I have a million stories about growing up, going to Toys R Us, and it was just It was a special place, man, as a kid, as I'm sure for every kid that went to Toys R Us. And even now, I mean, we even had this show. We even had a moment at Toys R Us when I interviewed those guys last year at for Force Friday. It was actually the Toys R Us in Reno. So Toys R Us, man, other than for the both of us, it's a special place in our heart, as well as the show, like I just said. So, yeah, it's going to be bummed driving by that old building and nothing there.
Really. Super sad. All right, well, moving right into Star Wars moment, because my Star Wars moment this week kind of ties in to Funko and collecting. Since we last recorded, a photo of one of the back of the boxes for Solo, the pops and the rest of the collectibles arrive on April 20th. And we got a look at the box. We're going to have Han Solo, the young Han Solo, Alden Emmerich, a Chewbacca. He's got goggles to make this pop different. Donald Glover's Lando, Kira, Tobias Beckett, that's Woody Harrelson, Val, that's another one of the crew you just briefly see here in the trailer, Rio Durant, an alien character that's going to be played by Jon Favreau, so he has a cool design. I'm looking forward to seeing what he does in the film. L337, that droid, the one that is hanging out with Lando. And then we got a range trooper, that like trooper that looks like he has almost like a winter jacket on. The cool guy with the mask from the Solo trailer, his name has now been revealed. It's Enfys Nest. So it's starting to look like he's more like a fellow smuggler type that maybe facing off with Han or whatever is going on. So we'll see. And finally, a mud trooper, which is another all-black trooper. It almost looks like a dust trooper. But all those, plus whatever store exclusives, I'm sure there's going to be a Hot Topic one, a GameStop one, probably even a Walmart and a Target one. So we'll see. No Toys R Us one, though. Swinging back around to that, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the rest of the planned Toys R Us exclusives. I mean, I imagine Funko has to make a choice, and they're probably going to have to release them themselves or something like that. So, something like on Funko Shop or whatnot. But anyways, yeah, that's Star Wars moment this week, unless you got anything to add to it, Miz?
No. What's Jon Favreau doing? Is he? There was something I posted on Facebook. I can't remember.
He not only is he playing Rio Durant, he's going to be running the live action Star Wars series that's going to make its debut on the new Disney streaming service that starts in 2019. So, exciting! Love Favreau.
Well, I ain't getting no Disney streaming site, so I'm going to set sail. I'm sure it'll be there.
Well, you can get it from me.
You can get
it from me.
All right.
I'm getting it. Okay. I'm in.
All right. there was another thing. If you guys have watched the Toys That Made Us, Jim Swearingen, I think that's how you say his name. He is going to be at San Francisco Comic Con. This is what I love. At the Oakland Convention Center in Oakland, California. I'm all for that if it's in my hometown. But I wonder why they can't do it in San Francisco anymore. I don't know. We'll see. But I'm definitely going to try to make it down there and talk to him. He's one of the designers of the original Kenner Star Wars figures. So that's going to be awesome. San Francisco Comic Con is June 8th through the 10th at the Oakland Convention Center, downtown Oakland. Do make it down there. Hopefully I will be there. I'll probably take Eric with me, and Mark, you'll probably show up. There was more Star Wars news. Disney released drone flyover footage of its upcoming Star Wars theme park. I don't know if this is if this is the one in LA or Florida. I don't know. I think it's the one down in LA, Anaheim. So just what they're showing. It looks awesome. And I know damn well it wasn't. It wasn't NBC just trying to be sneaky, because I'm sure everybody that has a drone is flying over that thing. But it looks cool, man, and I really can't wait for it. I don't know if we mentioned this last time. Mark Hamill finally got a star at the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Next time I go down there, I'm definitely going to check it out. It looks like it's right in front of the Disney Theater that's on Hollywood Boulevard. So I'll make it over there and check that out.
What looks like it?
As far as Star Wars news, that's all I got. Oh, did you see that deleted scene that's going to be on the Blu-ray with Phasma and Finn when they're fighting?
I did. Pretty interesting. Did you like that more than what they did in the film or less?
I liked it more, but it was a rough cut because all the background stuff didn't look very good.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that they go that route with it by saying that she's still alive, because, I mean, we don't know if she's dead. It seems like she just
hope so.
She just fell. And I don't know, man. Right. We'll see. Some breaking news, man. I guess Spike Lee is up for directing some new comic book movie. As soon as I get some more information, Night Watch, or spinoff movie, Night Watch. I'll read into that and look into it, but that could be interesting to see what he's gonna, what Spike Lee's gonna do with it. I don't know if it'll be a Spike Lee joint, because it's not something that he wrote, but I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I love Spike Lee. I don't like all of his movies, but a majority of them I do. Some of them I just thought were just, ugh, come on. I didn't really care for She's All That, and I didn't care for that one with Denzel and the basketball one.
You got Game?
Yeah, I didn't like that one. I didn't like
that. That was good.
I didn't like it. I was like, come on.
But this basketball, yeah. I know, you're not a fan.
Yeah. Speaking of basketball, I know we talked about this earlier, but I saw the trailer yesterday. Are you going to watch that Old Man Basketball Jones or whatever it's called?
Probably, but yeah, I mean, obviously it looks a little but yeah, I'll probably see it. Big fan of the Game, so yeah.
All right, is that it?
All right, on that note, quickly get random recommendations. What you got?
I have a movie that I picked up not too long ago. This is a movie, it's an indie movie directed by Bruce McDonald. I believe it came out in 1984. This is Dance Me Outside. It's a native movie. It's got a young Adam Beach in it. He's probably, and Michael Gray Eyes from Fear of the Walking Dead. It was two native guys out in the res, and there's a murder, and they're just trying to figure out who done it. I mean, they're not cops or anything. These are just local res boys, and one of their friends ends up getting murdered. So the rest of the movie, they're trying to figure out who did it. But it's a cool movie, man. I seen this a long time ago, and I just picked it up on DVD. I haven't actually sat down and watched it again. But there's some good performances, man. If you do want to check this movie out, it's streaming on YouTube. It's a pretty good copy that's on there. So Check it out. 1984's Dance Me Outside.
Cool. I'm going to go with a pretty simple one because my head is all in the MCU, so I wanted to see what was available. And a great one is available. If you have access to Amazon Prime, you can go back to where it started. Iron Man, the original Iron Man, is up. And, it was a great kickoff to what the MCU would become. And it's enjoyable as ever. It's this is the 10th anniversary of it. So, don't really need to say too much more about it. But, yeah, it's on Amazon Prime if you haven't watched in a while. So, yep, Iron Man, MCU. What do you got for song?
I am going to keep it in 1994. This is from the band Stone Temple Pilots. It was off their second album, Purple. Ooh, I was just listening to this album last night. And let me see if this is the song. Yeah. Silver Gun Superman. It's track number 7. I was listening to Talk is Jericho, the Y2J's podcast. And he had, I believe it was the new singer and the bass player. I can't remember the bass player's name from Stone Temple. They were both on the show, and they were talking about the new album they did and how they found their new singer, Jeff something. I can't remember his name. If you guys don't know who Stone Temple Pilots are, they're a band from San Diego that came out in the 90s. Their lead singer, he died of an overdose, Scott Whelan. I'm glad I got to see Stone Temple when they first came out, and it was an awesome show. It's the only time I got to see him. Then after that, they were having problems with Whelan. He left the band for a while. Then he came back, and then he overdosed and died. After that, they got Chester from Linkin Park. He was the lead singer in the group for a while. I didn't see them at all with them. I just saw videos, and he left the group because he was still doing Linkin Park. And then we all know that Chester, he also died. I think he hung himself or something. I don't know, but it just tragedy, man. Depression is a bitch. I don't care what anyone says. And yep. that's Chester just couldn't. From what I understand, he just couldn't handle it anymore, and I understand it, man. Depression, it's hard, man. But
yep.
We have to fight through it every day. I know I do, as well as everyone else in my family. But then they got this new singer. He was, he was on X Factor or something, and they didn't find him on X Factor. But he was talking about how he's been singing for over 30 years. So this just isn't is a guy that came in and just, hey, I could sing. Some people were saying, hey, man, they were telling the guys in STP, you really need to check this guy out, man. He's a really good singer. So like, all right. So they kind of met up with him. He sang the songs. I was listening to there was a concert they did in Hollywood at the Troubadour, I think a year or two ago. He sounds just like Scott Weiland, and I know, these singers were like for Journey, for instance, that little Filipino guy, he sounds exactly like Steve Perry. But I know STP has that different kind of sound, when it comes to singing, but I don't know. It's cool that they got a singer that kind of sounds like him. So, but I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, that's my song. Stone Temple Pilots, whatever the hell I said. I already clicked out of it. So, but yeah, it's off the second album. It's track number 7.
Okay. Gotcha. Like the last two E-Societies, well, last week I kind of went outside the Black Panther soundtrack for my Run the Jewels recommendation, legend has it. This week I'm going to come back one last time to the Black Panther soundtrack album, which I've been playing since it came out. The other kind of big song, the single, Weekend and Kendrick, Pray For Me. Just real good upbeat song and love the beat. And it's definitely one of those you can listen to over and over. And I have been ever since Black Panther came out. So, yeah, just one more recommendation to check out that Black Panther soundtrack. I liked it, and interestingly enough, I was surprised they did this whole album, and then, you know, barely just a couple of songs made it to the film. I kind of imagined that's how it was going to be. It was hard to imagine the whole film was going to be filled with these songs. But anyways, I'm still loving it, and loving Black Panther, and yeah, I think that'll just about wrap us up. But before we go, like I always do,
speaking of soundtracks, that Wrinkle in Time one sounded horrible. I don't know if I mentioned this already. My old age, I forgot. But anyway, I'm gonna say it again if I didn't. The soundtrack for the Strangers Pray at Night, man, it was hella good. All 80s goodness, nice. And I loved it. I mean, each time they threw in an 80s song in the background, it was mainly that's what the Strangers were blasting in their truck. I thought each song they picked went with the scene. So whoever decided to use all these 80s music, hey, good job. Right on. Continue. That's it.
Awesome. Okay, yeah. The stuff that's streaming, Netflix has Jessica Jones season 2, dug a little into that. Won't speak on that until I dig a little more. A movie called Outsider with Jared Leto is up. Mute with the one guy from True Blood. The Eric from True Blood.
Skarsgård?
He's in Mute.
Pennywise's brother.
Yes. Frankenstein Chronicle with Sean Bean. I saw that's up.
That
sucked. I haven't checked it out yet.
Stay away from it.
That's all up on Netflix. Okay. Yeah, I had no idea. But it's up. HBO, they didn't have a new movie, but they still have The House and Alien Covenant for their most recent stuff. Amazon had Sneaky Pete season 2, and I never finished season 1, so when I saw season 2 was up, it reminded me to go check out back to season 1. I was like halfway through. I checked out a couple episodes last week, and I definitely want to finish it. It's a series worth checking out. So yeah, Sneaky Pete. As far as what's in the theater, unless you saw anything else coming out, Nez, the only big movie I saw that's coming out and probably going to go check out this weekend is the new take on Tomb Raider.
Yeah, that's
anything
out.
Else
there's,
coming out that you know of?
There's something else I don't remember, but Tomb Raider I'm definitely going to go see. And I'm going to go see Red Sparrow because I haven't made it out to see that yet. From what I understand, Jennifer Lawrence is naked through the whole thing, so I'm all about that. So I'm gonna go check that out.
All right. Well, on that note, I guess we're just about done.
Yep.
Y'all set?
Not have anything else. Thank you again, everyone, for checking out Up to the Challenge. Then nothing else is coming out. Oh, I'm going to make it out to see Hurricane Heist as well. Maybe Gringo. I'm not sure yet. But everyone, thank you so much for listening to the East Society. And again, for the third time, thank you so much for listening to Up to the Challenge. Episode 2 will be coming, if not this weekend, the beginning of next week. And that's about it.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to the next episode of Up to the Challenge. I'll be ready, and I got another good recommendation lined up. So,
yeah. And for those of you that do listen to Up
all
to
right,
the Challenge, for those of you that do listen to Up to the Challenge, If you guys want to challenge us to something to watch, but it has to be on one of the streaming sites, be it YouTube,
streaming,
Amazon, Hulu, what have you. If there's something that, I mean, just throw us suggestions of what you, hey, you, I want you guys to check this out, and most definitely we will watch it and tell you what we thought about it. Yeah, that's all.
For sure. Okay. Yeah. This is it for me. And thanks for listening. And enjoy. Have fun. Be safe. And enjoy the madness of March.